pile of white.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. It wasn't the massive snowstorm that pummeled Washington that kept senators at the Capitol into early this morning. The Democratic majority voted to move a 2,074-page health care bill forward. Every Republican voted no, but the movement goes on with the Democrats' 60 votes. President Obama wants to sign a final bill sometime early next year, one that'll likely offer some gain and some pain for health care. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has the rundown.
Here are the broad outlines. If your employer doesn't provide health insurance, you'll have to buy it on your own or pay a fine. If you can't afford it, there's a government subsidy. There'll be fines, too, for companies that don't offer coverage. Small businesses can get a tax credit, and there are insurance exchanges to help them find cheaper plans. There's a substantial tax exemption for nonprofit health plans, none of which mollifies Republicans who are dead set against the reform, though they're running out of delaying tactics with today's early morning vote. Here's Senator John Cornyn of Texas.
The sheer irresponsibility of the way this is being done, with artificial deadlines, votes in the dead of night, bills cooked up behind closed doors with special deals, jammed down the throats of the American people who don't want it.
For Democratic senators who held out, there are plenty of perks and sweeteners in the bill, but there's also a fair bit of bad-tasting medicine, higher taxes on so-called Cadillac health plans, a hike on the Medicare payroll tax for high earners, and on drug companies, medical device makers, and for-profit health insurers. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
By the way, we just got word that French drug maker Sanofi Aventis will buy Tennessee-based health products giant Chatham. It's a $1.9 billion deal. Let's check numbers. Hey, everybody's up in Europe. Shares in London, Frankfurt, and Paris all higher by a 0.5% or more. The rally across the pond has boosted stock futures here at home. All signs point to a positive opening today. In Asia, Japanese and Chinese shares rose, but the Hang Seng closed off more than a percent. Commercial radio giant Citadel Broadcasting has filed for bankruptcy protection. The parent of powerhouse stations WABC in New York and WLS Chicago says part of its debt comes from its purchase of ABC stations back in 07. Today's the last day of the Federal Communications Commission, and they'll take public comments on a national broadband plan, the idea to ensure all Americans have high-speed internet access. And the White House has asked the FCC to have something together by February, and broadcasters have a lot to say about the issue, as Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
If every American is going to have access to high-speed internet service, we're going to have to scare up more spectrum, more space on the airwaves for all that texting, calling, and downloading. But spectrum is scarce. Blair Levin heads the FCC's Broadband Task Force. He says we're already facing a crisis.
Consumers increasingly want to be able to use wireless means of communications to do a variety of things that require greater bandwidth.
Where do you get that bandwidth? From TV broadcasters. Levin says they don't need all their spectrum because most people get TV through cable. But broadcasters say they have plans for their airwaves. They want to beam live local TV to cell phones and laptops. Dennis Wharton is executive vice president of the National Association of Broadcasters.
The FCC, if it were to go through with some of these plans, would, in essence, kill this opportunity in the cradle.
Broadcasters plan to take that message to Congress when it considers the FCC's broadband plan next year. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, working to meet the capital needs of qualified businesses and consumers. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/ahead. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
If you're still in the market, you have just a few days to get a Christmas tree. Even in a bad economy, they can go for upwards of a couple hundred bucks. But if you have a little extra time and some elbow grease, you can find a cheaper alternative in the woods. Shannon Mullen reports.
America's national forests are full of bargain Christmas trees. For $10 or less, anyone can get a permit, go into the woods, and cut one down. The program's been around since the late 1940s, but the Forest Service says permit sales have increased 50% in the last 2 years.
I think because we've advertised it a little bit more, and, of course, with the economy.
Herb Karsten is a ranger in New Hampshire's White Mountain National Forest. He says tree cutters come here from near and far.
It's really cheap. These trees aren't the best looking. They don't look trimmed, and they're, you know, depends what you're looking for. But the experience, I think, is what most people come out for.
Including Greg Felling and Carrie Muldoon, who drove 2 hours from Boston, where they say Christmas trees are too expensive.
They charge by the foot in some places.
Yeah, by the foot. It's $10 by the foot with a $50 minimum.
Have you ever done this before, cut your own Christmas tree?
No. I've always went to, like, Home Depot. But, yeah, it's my first time. So I'm really excited. And
so you made a day trip all the way up here for a Christmas tree?
It's been fun.
Yeah, it's beautiful country, and it's still a little bit costly to drive up here, but it's still cheaper than just going and buying a Christmas tree pre-cut.
And the Forest Service gets some help with habitat management. There are some places and certain size trees that are off limits, but for the most part, people can cut what they want. Muldoon and Felling spotted a nice 10-foot tree about a half mile into the woods.
Smells good.
It's a little more work. If you don't mind a little bit of adventure, I think it's well worth to get out here and do this. And it brings out, like, the man in the logger. Timber!
Muldoon and Felling say one downside to this process, there's no one to help you carry your tree back to the car and tie it to the roof. But at city prices, they might have paid $100 or more for the same size tree. Adventure not included. In the White Mountains of New Hampshire, I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
And finally, boy, was it snowing over the weekend in the Northeast. Thousands of passengers were stranded, travelers called airlines looking for flight information, and the website Consumerist.com reports at Delta, those people on hold were treated with a loop of the holiday favorite, Let It Snow. Oh, the irony. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.